Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. Back in January, I think it was, we talked to Terry Schreiber, who is a director and acting teacher and a really nice guy with a lot of good stories about learning and teaching and the process of acting, and it was great to talk to him. Well, he has a theater, an acting studio, as well as a production house called the T. Schreiber Studio. And playing there through, I think, October 24th, it is, a revival of Beth Henley's comedy drama, mostly comedy, Crimes of the Heart. Now, why should you go out and see this production? Since, obviously, there was a Broadway mounting of it a bunch of years ago that won the Pulitzer Prize and has been made into a movie. So what is special about this staging of this very popular play, Crimes of the Heart? Well, I figured I'd go to the source and ask the person who is directing it. Her name is Pamela Scott, and she's done a bunch of directing over the years and teaching at places like the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, where she is not only a graduate but part of their faculty. She's also studied with Sandra Seacat, who's a pretty well-known acting teacher and has had some rather famous classmates, whom I'll be asking about. Hello, Pamela Scott.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I am good. How's Crimes of the Heart shaping up?
Oh, it's shaping up beautifully. The cast is lovely. They're terrific. It's a wonderful, lovely play filled with that mix of tragedy and comedy, which is tricky to do, but a lot of fun.
Was it your decision to stage the play, or did Terry come to you and say, well, you know, this would really be good because we have a lot of women actresses? And
yeah, it was sort of mutual, trying to find a play that did have good parts for women in it. And so that was one that we were fond of from a long time ago. So
if the listeners aren't, you know, or don't remember or don't know the piece, just very quickly, what is it about?
It's about three sisters in Hazelhurst, Mississippi, that basically are trying to learn how to handle the bad days. The one sister, the youngest sister, has shot her husband, who is a senator. She was trying to kill him, but she missed. The other sister, it's her birthday, and she can't have children, and she's upset about that. It's her 30th birthday. And the play takes place in 1974, so it's a little different being 30. In 74, a little different than it is now. And then the other sister is back in town to see about the youngest sister, and she was the one who has a reputation. She was known as cheap Christmas trash all over Copiah County. So it's just a mix of wacky characters that come in, and a nosy neighbor, and a lawyer, and an old boyfriend. So basically they all get together.
And you were familiar with the play, I guess, before this time. I mean, you've probably
yes.
seen it and read it before, or even worked on scenes with it?
Yes, lots of scenes get done in acting classes from this play. And I had seen the original Broadway production.
Mary Beth Hurt was in that, and who else?
It was like 20 years ago. I think it was it Mia Dillon?
Yes.
And then, of course, I saw the movie and then read the play, and so it was always had a fond place in my heart, so it was good to be bringing these characters to life again.
So directing the piece as a whole, did you learn anything new from the script? Did something jump out at you and say, oh, this is about this, or some moment that you never got before suddenly came to you and you were like, oh, my gosh?
I probably learned a lot through the directing of it, on how difficult it is to do that mix of comedy and drama, because if you step over one side, you have a drama. If you step over the other side, you have a comedy that doesn't have the drama, and you need both.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, as a director, that was the most that I learned through that, of working through that.
What are some of the plays that really influenced you the most, your favorite plays, or if not that, then roles as you were an actress coming up?
Yeah, roles, I guess. I've done a lot of showcase roles and a lot of writing and things like that, so that was a lot of fun. But I guess I do love this play, of course.
Right.
I like Paula Vogel's work, too, and a lot of How I Learned to Drive was, a terrific, terrific play. Shakespeare, of course.
Who?
That guy.
The bard guy, yeah.
So
he didn't really write them anyway. It was his, you know, his wife or Thomas Middleton or someone.
Yes, and I did a play at the Academy. That's a kind of an odd play at times, but I loved it. It was Vinegar Tom by Carol Churchill.
So here's the question that all the acting, well, pretty much anybody in any profession gets asked, but actors especially, at what point, when you were young, did you realize dot, dot, dot?
That I wanted to be an actor?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember doing shows as a little kid.
Uh-huh.
I grew up outside of Detroit, and I would put on shows when I was about 6 or 7 years old and actually charge people a nickel. And I would lip sync to Elvis Presley, and then I started, you know, writing plays by hand and putting on those shows. And so it was pretty early on. I would say 7 or 8, I probably knew. And I always used to write, too. I would get out of bed in the middle of the night and write down story ideas and, you know, act out things. So it was pretty much there.
But then you were able to pursue it. I mean, you went to East Michigan University. Did you major in theater at that point?
Yes, I did. I majored in theater and minored in literature. Mm-hmm. And then I quit in my senior year when I auditioned for the Academy. I quit school in my senior year, and my dad was very supportive. He said, well, your goal wasn't to be a college graduate. It was to be an actor, so go ahead and go. So I came out to New York and went to the American Academy for 3 years and graduated. And then I did end up, you know, getting my bachelor's degree a few years later.
And were you in any off-Broadway or major off-Broadway or Broadway productions?
No, nothing major. I did one show at the Public Theater.
Which show?
It was with the Latino Festival.
Okay.
Peggy and Jackson. So.
Okay.
So.
Sorry, I.
That's okay.
Just Pap had so many shows going through there at one point. It was like,
yes.
You know, it's hard to. But was that tough for you? You know, going through and then. Because a lot of times you'll hear people interview actors on stuff, and, well, they went through this period, and then they got the part or the role on the sitcom or something. And you I assume, were trying to make a living and as an actress and make your name. Was there a point when you suddenly said, wait a minute, I'm working, but I'm not really making a living at this, and it's not going to happen?
It didn't really happen like that. More what did take place was I was working. I was waitressing nights for years, and I would do all the workshops during the day and auditions and things like that. And what began to happen as I started studying with Sandra Seacat was I started writing more than I had been, and the writing started to come to the front burner, and the acting slowly got pushed to the back burner. I started at first when I started writing, I was putting myself in my plays, you know, the first one or two one acts that I did, I acted in, and then I started, you know, producing and directing and stuff like that. So it kept getting pushed back. And I find that everything I do related to theater, you know, or film or the business, I just love it so much that, you know, it hasn't been like I miss acting. I still love acting in that, and, you know, I still do it once in a while, but mostly it was, you know, I kept being pulled in other directions, too, which I really loved.
So you've been really concentrating then to some level on the directing, but also on writing plays.
Right.
I noticed I one of the questions I was going to ask towards the very end is on your resume on, I think it's the American Dramatic Arts Academy thing,
mm-hmm.
It says that you're in the middle of writing 2 or 3 screenplays, as we all are. But is that selling out, or is that just part of the process that, well, look, if I write plays, I can write screenplays too, you know?
Well, that's, I had one option a long time ago, and that's the one that was basically got me started writing again, and then it was option, and then I sort of took a break from that and started writing plays, and then I went back and did another script version of that. And right now it's being sent out. Terry's been very supportive with the screenplay. He really liked it, so he's sending it out, and my agent is sending it out. So hopefully something will happen with it.
Wait, you're talking about the one that was already optioned?
It was optioned a long time ago, yeah, like 10 years ago, and then it didn't.
Oh, they didn't make it, and then it reverted. I got it.
And then it comes back, yeah.
Yeah. That's how writers live in California, on options.
Right, right.
They don't have to make anything. They just have to get it optioned for a year or two.
Right.
Why should actors go to acting school?
Well, I believe acting is something that can be learned. Yes, talent, you can't teach talent necessarily, but you can teach acting. And I've seen so much growth with students, with actors. You know, you can say one thing, you know, it's like they say if a teacher says, you know, that 10 teachers can tell you something, then one teacher can say it and it all comes together. Mm. And I've watched such growth among students that it's just, you know, you can't tell me that it can't be taught. It can. It's a wonderful thing to watch the young actors grow to. It's really great.
Do you subscribe to any particular technique or method, or is it a synthesis of the different schools, or what?
Basically, it's a lot of synthesis. I would probably lean more towards method, more of a sense memory and exercises like that. I do a lot of that and relaxation. But it's also, you know, since different schools that I teach at have different time frames, I sort of sometimes have to fit within that. So I may, you know, shorten my technique or my relaxation and things like that to work within the time frame and the schools. And I learned a lot from not only Bette T. Schreiber and the Academy, but also with Sandra Seacat. So, but her work usually takes a really long time, so I can't use all of it, but it's great.
All right, it's name-dropping time, I guess. But first of all, since you've been a teacher for how many years now?
I think it's about 6 or 7 years now. 7 years now.
7 years. Yeah. So anybody that we would know of who came under your tutelage?
Not so far, no.
Okay, that's cool. Then let's reverse it. Then certainly the people that you mentioned that were classmates coming up with you, mm-hmm. is a little bit of a who's who here. We can just, any memories that you have of these folks, good or ill or both, people like Betty Buckley?
Yes, she was in a class with Sandra and with one workshop, and she was lovely to work with. She was pretty amazing because she would just give her all when she was on stage. She would just, it just oozed out of her.
But it wasn't a singing thing. This was purely
acting.
This
was an acting class, yeah.
And Gina Gershon.
Yeah. She's great. She actually has a great comedic sensibility that doesn't get tapped into a lot. But we were in Scotland for 3 weeks. My teacher, Sandra, did an acting workshop there for 3 weeks.
Cool.
We had 18 actors there. Rented a castle. It's really great. And just worked on our craft from morning, noon, and night. And so there, I can only say doing Lion in Winter at, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning in a castle in Scotland.
Wow.
That it was really special. So, and Gina had a, like I said, a great comedic sensibility and was very, very talented. And that was probably, I don't know, maybe 12 years ago.
Here's a name that I wouldn't expect. And I guess that's the kind of thing we wanted to hear about Gina Gershon is we know her for one thing, but we don't realize X, Y, and Z, that she has the potential to do these other things. So Don Johnson.
He was terrific.
And I bet he was like an actor that people don't even realize he, from watching Miami Vice, that, oh yeah, no, he has a dramatic talent, or he's really funny or something, right?
Yes, he did a scene once, and he was going to leave. He had his driver waiting, and Sandra said, Don, I'd like you to do it again. And he said, I really have to go. And Sandra said, Don, I'd like you to do it again. And so he said, okay. And he did it again, and she worked him through it, and it was brilliant. It was wonderful, and he was sobbing, and he was laughing, and we were all sobbing and laughing, and I saw a side of him that was just really, unfortunately, doesn't, you know, on some of the stuff, you know, you can't, on TV, you don't always have the time to get to that stuff, or, you know, or it wouldn't be appropriate in some of the TV shows, but he was a brilliant actor, is a brilliant actor.
What scene did he do, do you remember?
He was doing a scene from Kafka.
Don Johnson does Kafka. They should put that on the marquee right now.
Yeah, and he did it beautifully. And I used to, for Sandra, one of my jobs as her assistant was to rewatch all the videotapes and write things down about it. So I would be in the workshop and then I would tape the workshop and then I would watch the tapes and then I would write about the different scenes. So that was a terrific learning experience for me also.
Now you, not only as as we've said, you've done acting and you do a lot of directing and you're writing a lot of plays. You also founded a couple of, well, one theater and then also kind of a little company. So first of all, Aching Dogs Theater, which is a play on, you know, aching feet.
Right.
And what's that about?
Well, that is, which is a great thing, is that the union, the Hotel Restaurant Workers Union, Local 6, and the Hotel Trade Council, which is AFL-CIO, decided that they had so many members that were actors being in the restaurant business that they would fund a theater company for their members to be able to hone their craft and, you know, possibly get jobs on the outside. So they wanted to support their members who were actors. So they fund a theater company that I'm the producing artistic director, and we do one or two shows a year and cast as many members as we can. You know, usually it's between 13 and 20 members. And I also teach weekly workshops. And so they've been great about that.
And then there's also Lunch Live.
Lunch Live is something that I created because a lot of the students I was working with didn't have an opportunity to showcase. You know, either some of them I worked full-time or just couldn't find the opportunity to do a showcase. So I put together this Lunch Live where we basically feed industry, bribe them shamelessly to coming to the show by giving them a free lunch and sing in our show. So we put together usually between 4 and 6 short scenes, you know, 5 to 10 minute scenes, and the actors act in it, and Scotty gets industry to come to it, and we invite industry to come.
Yeah, I mean, well, being a theater critic myself for all these years, I know, and it's true about my colleagues, that, you know, they have 100 plays to choose from being in New York at any given time. But if you say, oh, you know, there's free food, I swear to God, suddenly all 90% of the other plays fall off. And it's like, well, let's see, I really want to see this one, but free food on this one, you know, I don't have to pay for dinner.
That's great. And it was also our way of saying thank you to what industry. You know, one of the things I found, too, is, you know, actors in the business, it's always, they're always looking for work. So this was a nice way to say thank you to people in the industry for finding work for actors.
Well, speaking of work, basically last question I want to talk to you about is, because you're doing all this writing, you have a play of your own that is going to be going up at the Producers Club, too. It's a few weeks from now. It's December 1st through 5th.
Well, this is the Aching Dogs Theater, yes.
Oh, it's the Aching Dogs. Okay, yeah.
Yes, and we're actually figuring out which plays we're doing yet. So I'm not 100% sure if it's going to be a play of mine or if it's going to be several one acts.
I thought it was going to be Servers because it was a lot
about
Servers
was singing. Done last year.
Ah, okay.
And but it, you know, we had talked about, you know, either doing Servers 2 if I could write it fast enough, or something like that. But that was, I'm sorry for the misunderstanding. That was done last year.
Now, and Servers is about your time waitressing, I assume.
Yeah.
Sort of your personal experience. So what's the best story that came out of that? The most memorable moment as an actress / waitress?
Oh, let's see. The most, I guess, would be waiting on people and then on my break flying downstairs to the locker room, taking off my uniform, putting on an audition outfit, taking a cab down somewhere to, you know, go to an audition and run to an audition and then taking a cab back and running back and having my break cost me $30 or whatever in cab fare, and then putting my uniform back on and being able to, you know, go right back into, hi, what would you like to drink? Yeah.
And I guess the converse question then is, or obverse or reverse or one of the verses, is your strangest, either most wonderful or worst, audition experience?
Going in and not quite being prepared as an actor or singer. When I first started out, I think the first audition I ever went to, we weren't really allowed to go to auditions at the Academy, because they didn't want you to, you know, they wanted you to know what you were doing before you went, and good point. But I went anyways, and I didn't have a headshot or a resume, and I went in and sang a song and got the words all wrong. And then at the end, they said, well, we'll call you, thank you. And I thought, well, not likely, since you don't even have my number. So, but I just wanted to get the experience of being up in front of people and trying it. You know?
Well, just reminding folks that up in front of people right now is Crimes of the Heart. It's playing at the T. Schreiber Studio, 151 West 26th Street. Tickets are 212-352-3101. It's a classic show. It's won a Pulitzer and remains part of the American canon at this point. And directing it at the Schreiber Studio has been my guest, Pamela Scott. I want to wish you best of luck on the show. It's running to the 24th, right?
Right, right.
And so best of luck on that. Best of luck on the plays you're writing. And if there was one thing that, another bit of encouragement that you would give people who are coming up as actors and actresses, what would that be?
That would be to follow your dream. The money will come later.
I've been telling my mom and dad that for years. Now I'm telling my wife that. Now, well, but you know.
Lots of times I have many students that come to me that are older that say they wished, you know, they would have had the support to do it when they were younger. And I'm just lucky that, I feel lucky that I got the support from my family to follow my dream. And it may have changed along the years, but I'm very happy.
Well, very happy to have you here with us on the Daverhood. Pamela Scott, best of luck. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dave.